You, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you that are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. The newly baptized receive an anointing with these words. A little cross on the forehead, that same cross that we trace on the foreheads of those when we pray commendation of the dying. It comes to us from today's letter to the Ephesians, excerpt from Paul's writing. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're marked with the cross of Christ forever. Friends in Christ, we are made the saints of God. On this All Saints Sunday, as we seek to know who the saints are and what they have to say to us, we proclaim that rather than considering perfect Christians as those we would set apart as saints, the saints are those who have been made whole by the grace of God through baptism into Christ. You and I are the saints of the church. The communion of saints is a diverse array of witnesses to God's faithfulness in the past, in the now, and in the future. And in the way of the Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel, the saints are the ones who challenge us to embody the surprising, world-reversing ways of the reign of God. We don't feel blessed when we're poor. We don't feel blessed when we weep. We've come to our Novembering discipline, friends. The period between All Saints Day and Christ the King Sunday, the end of the Christian calendar. And in our Novembering discipline, we begin on All Saints Sunday with reflections on endings and beginnings. Here at Trinity, we remember those who've died, and we remember those who began the journey of faith in baptism. In keeping with that remembrance, we recall that the reformer Martin Luther understood two kinds of death, a little death and a big death. For Luther, the big death is what occurs in the waters of baptism, when the sinful self and the power of sin and death and the devil are drowned. Those things no longer have control over us, ultimate power over us. Death no longer has the last word. In the waters of baptism, We are joined to the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, and we face our end, therefore, with anticipation. Though we are sinful, in the waters of baptism we are given a new identity. Sister in Christ, brother in Christ, you are a saint in those waters. You are a child of God, one who's forgiven and loved and saved through the love of God in Christ Jesus. So for us facing that big death in the washing waters, there's reason to celebrate the end. For in the end, there's always a new beginning. We live into the surprising world-reversing way of the reign of God, for there, in the end, is Jesus. Now, the little death for Luther is one's physical death. And we usually think about all of that in reverse, don't we? For Luther, the physical death, when there is no breath left in our bodies or life left in our limbs, this little death is often perceived by us as the big death. It's the death that engenders our fear. It's the one in which tears are shed for that which is lost, for what no longer will be. And although we who are people of faith know that this one we let go of is a child of God, this child of God is no longer here with us. And for that we grieve. The sting of the end is real for us. Gordon Lathrop, who is a professor emeritus at the Lutheran School of Theology, Chicago, asserts that the gospel reading for this All Saints Remembrance sings a unique melody this day. We are called to hear its tune. We're invited into the upside-down ethics of the kingdom of God, and given a chance, we wonder how to be poor. Most of us in this room could not call ourselves that. Or how to laugh when so much around us calls for weeping. The reading from Luke almost sounds like a song from a different opera, not the one focused on our dying, but emphasizing desired attributes for the way we are to live as the baptized. In Luke's gospel, the context of these blessings comes after a night when Jesus went to the mountain to pray. We're told he prayed all night long. And at daybreak, he called together his disciples, and he chose the 12. He prayed all night long to prepare to choose those who would follow him. And then he came to a place where he healed diseases of people from many places, and everyone tried to reach out and to touch him, for this man was a man of power. There was power coming from him. Choosing the 12 took a night of prayer. It was a momentous occasion. And everything about our baptism, if we take seriously the big death, the drowning of our sinful selves, our dying selves, or the drowning of the devil itself, everything about our baptism is momentous as well. We pray, pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your living Word. And then we proclaim, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And this is momentous if we allow it to be. Not just a cute moment with a baby, but a tremendous washing, an affirmation that God is at work in the world, this upside-down, reverse ethic world of the Beatitudes that we hear. The people sought to touch Jesus when power came out of him, and we still seek to touch Christ's healing grace. In our baptismal washing, every one of us saints has been called and then touched with power. The power to live as we're called to live in those blessings of the Beatitudes. We become the proof that when God calls, it is momentous and there's nothing that can get in the way. We're invited to hear the tune of Jesus' upside-down ethic, a version of life that is dissonant to the ears of many, but harmonious in the context of God's creation. Created in the communion of saints, living out daily our baptisms, we are invited into the impossible, to love our enemies, to be nice to those who hate us, to give away money, clothing, to anyone who asks. And we say it is impossible, but in our baptisms we are transformed into people who find ourselves unreasonably joyful in difficult circumstances, possessors of a peace that the world cannot understand, willing instruments of God's loving care for the world. St. Francis prayed during what he called his season of conversion this prayer. Most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart and give me, Lord, correct faith, firm hope, perfect charity, wisdom, and perception, that I may do what is truly your most holy will. It is for such faith, hope, charity, wisdom, and perception that we pray. Called to be the saints of God in our time, may our prayer embrace that calling to be willing instruments of God's loving care for the world. In Christ's name, amen.